from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Game tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Like I said, just turn up and listen.
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm sitting here at the Northern Kia Studios just shaking my head. I literally, SMH, if you're a tweeter or X or whatever, shaking my head about what's been going on here in Atlanta. Because one of the things I got to get into tonight with you is I just want to bang my head on the table here at my studio, my home studio, only because to this day, I don't understand why we in this town, when it comes to our sports teams, don't act like a major market. For God's sakes, We act like we're Memphis. I mean, stop it. Anyway, first thing I have to do, John Fricke with you, Northern Kia Studios, 92.9 The Game tonight. We'll take your calls here, but I have to, first off, I owe an apology. Oh, do I owe an apology? To Oren Romain. Because the czar, what did we come up with there at the end there? What was it? Czar, prince, king? Do you remember?
I don't remember. No, I don't remember what the title was.
Well, anyway,
it was important. I had some title of nobility. Yes,
Grand Poobah. I don't know, Oren. It was something good. So Oren sends me a tweet, and I'm out trying to do the 10,000 step thing, and I mean it's 185 blazes degrees out, right? And so he says, you and me tonight, right? And so I just going to send him a little, one of those memes back, and next to the thumbs up is the roll eyes, and I hit the roll eyes. It's like, no, wait.
Yeah, you sent me like eight texts, John.
It was a disaster. Then I tried to correct it, and it was a disaster.
That wasn't not noticed that you sent me. Like, John just hit me. I told John that it's he and I tonight, and I got a bunch of responses back, and they're all different.
Bad.
They're all different responses.
Then I tried to do the whole thing with the the hit the microphone thing, and then it translated it all wrong into like gibberish or something, and it was like, okay, this isn't working.
Yeah, it wasn't great
because I'm not trying to get the because I got to 300,000 for the month yesterday, right?
Steps,
and then right.
Not bad.
No, I do 10,000 a day, and so which is great because you're always kind of trying to push through to the end of the month. But the worst day when you're doing 10,000 a day is the first day of the next month, because you wake up at zero, and it's like, oh,
the reset.
No, yeah, it's like Groundhog Day. Oh, I got to start over. I don't want to start over, and so. It's all the worst day. The first is always the worst day of this regimen. And I've been doing it now, ever since my seizure. And so, how long has it been? Seven months. Wow. No, 8 months. 8 months. So, okay. All right. So, anyway, we got a lot to talk about today, including, you know, why we don't act like a major market. I don't understand this. Braves are off today, as you know. They're going off to, this is a weird road trip, isn't it, Orin? San Francisco and then Philadelphia. Who sat down in there? Yeah, let's take a team from Atlanta. We're going to fly them to San Francisco. And then what's near San Francisco? Oh, Philadelphia. What? Yeah, we're gonna the Mets are gonna play in Seattle and then Miami. Why wouldn't they play in? Okay,
yeah, it makes sense.
I don't make it make sense. Well, there's no other National League team. Well, Denver, you know, is not that far away. San Diego's pretty close. It's quite, you know, 2 hour hop. Okay, you know, but no, we're gonna put you in Philadelphia. So you got three against the Giants, and then end of the week here. Because the Braves, really, here's another thing, Orin, you can help me out with. The Braves are on the road all week. Maybe it's happened and I just haven't noticed it because, you know, when I was growing up, there was, before Stone Mountain, the fireworks show in town was Fulton County Stadium, right? I mean, it was the 4th of July fireworks show.
Yes.
And it was such a big deal, the Braves would sell the game out. And by selling the game out with 55,000 fans at Fulton County Stadium, they equaled their attendance for like the rest of the year. Because they wouldn't get anybody, you know. There'd be like 800 people. And then you go into Fulton County Stadium, and suddenly there's 55,000. I was like, how do you handle that from a stadium standpoint? This is how my brain worked even at age like 16. I was like, how do you handle that with like concessions when it's never open? And suddenly, for one night only, we got to hire people. And they got to get it right. So so that was the big fireworks show. So, but it was, you know, and of course, we're coming up on the, in a couple of years, on the 40th anniversary of the Rick Camp home run. That night was unbelievable. I'll worry about that in a couple of years. Firing off the fireworks at 3 in the morning in Cabbage Town, people just going nuts. So before the laser light show at Stone Mountain, the fireworks show in town was at Fulton County. But there was always a fireworks show at the Braves, right? But they're not going to, Orin, there's no July 3rd or July. They're just like, goodbye, see ya.
Well, they'll do one at some point, like, what, the 6th? They'll do one at some point. You'll get that fireworks. It just won't be on the 4th, unfortunately. But they'll do their patented vintage fireworks like they always do.
You know what? If they don't do a fireworks show this year, they could replace it with, I don't know, maybe some offense. You know, there'd be like enough fireworks for us. That might work. Yeah, that might actually work.
Yes.
Yeah, it might work. In a couple of hours, the U.S. men's national team will kick off against Uruguay. And that'll be at 9 o'clock tonight. At 11, their coach will be fired, and some referee will be blamed. And that's how that'll probably go. I'll have the game on here. I'll be telling you. You know, I know it's people make a big deal out of it. Copa America to me. See, unfortunately for me, I view Copa America as like, I don't really care. Is it the World Cup? No? Okay. I mean, it's like, oh, it's nice, but it's not the be-all, end-all. And so if they're knocked out, I'm like, eh. You know, but I think the more important thing is, you know, how they're playing. And if they're just out there punching people with bad referees on the field, that's probably not going to go well for them. So let's see what they got against, because, you know, Uruguay, they're pretty damn good. So they're going to have their hands full tonight. And they can make it in with, if they win, they get in. If they tie and then Panama does something, they can get in. If they lose and Panama does something, they can still get in. I don't know. It's complicated here. So. But just win the game and move on, and we'll see what the U.S. men's team does here. I still don't understand why it's taking us so long, Orin, to be, and I think the last time I checked, we're number 12 in the world, U.S. men's number 12 in the world. What's taking us so long from, you know, this is the United States, right? I mean, all right, I'm going to be an ugly American for a moment. We win everything, correct? If there's a sport, we win. Because we're the United States. If there's a war, well, in theory, we should win. But we win. We're right. We should win. What's taking us so long? Why can we not develop? I don't get it. I mean, I know that John, you know, Brazil's been playing soccer since they invented rubber. I know. Okay, fine. Whatever. I understand, but still, you know. You would think with all the training and everything now, it'd be pretty good. And we're okay. But we get beat by little countries. You know, I mean, a tiny little nation over here that's got like 1,200 people, and we're the United States. You don't lose to 1,200 people. I don't know. So a lot going on because July is going to be nutty. This month, Orin, is going to be crazy. It's going to be so much fun for us to talk about. Orin, what is the number one thing on your, just thinking about the month of July? I can give you the list of things here. I mean, there's all those big events, right? I mean, there's All-Star Baseball going on. You got the Home Run Derby. I got something on that tonight. Oh, wait till we get to that. You've got, the British Open if you're a golf fan. There's like Wimbledon or something. I don't know. Tour de France.
Wimbledon's going on right now.
Yeah. And then you got the two biggies, right? You've got the opening of NFL training camps. And of course, you got the Olympics.
You forgot about NBA Summer League in there too, John.
Yeah, I did forget about NBA Summer League, didn't I? Well, that's because I don't watch it.
First game, though, John, going to be the Wizards of Washington and Mr. Sarr versus the Hawks of Atlanta and Mr. Richache.
I'll watch highlights. The reason this is not me hating, I want all of you to understand, all you hoop heads out there to understand something. The reason I don't watch basketball this time of the year is not me hating on Summer League. It's not me hating on WNBA. It's me, John, who is I'm a fan of all sports, not one, and I need a break, okay? I need a break,
John Fricky?
Yes, I need a break.
Oh my gosh! The Summer League is the break. That's what you watch it, and there's no attachment to it. No.
I need
sports with no attachment.
I don't want to see dribble, dribble, shoot, score. I don't want to. I won't watch it in the Olympics.
Watch basketball in the Olympics.
No, I will not.
Wow.
No, I don't care. I mean, win the gold, don't win the gold. I have to have a break from the game. I watch so much of it between, the middle of October and June that I just need to get away from the game. It's like golf. I watch so much baseball. I can't. Baseball, if we're not in the World Series, I'm done. As soon as the Braves are out, I check out.
Well, John,
I didn't watch anything. Watch the World Series last year between, who the hell was in it? Texas and Arizona or second rates like that?
There's a down period between the end of Summer League and the Olympics and the start of the season. The season doesn't start until like October.
I need more than that. I need a good solid like 4 months.
Oh wow! There's time in between, John. Like the season.
I don't watch the UFL or the USFL or the Arena League or the XFL or the indoor. Whatever the hell they got going on now. I don't watch any of that. I need a break from football, and I am a gigantic football fan because I want it to be fresh. I don't want to be kind of like burned out on it by the time I get to the season. You know what I'm saying? I just need a break. Because when I was growing up, you have to understand, all of you out there, okay? People my age, I grew up in Atlanta at a time where there was no such thing. As a hoophead. There were a few, but really in Atlanta in the 1970s, 1980s, we were fans of all the Atlanta teams, okay? I mean, if you were a Braves fan, you were also a Hawks fan, you were also a Falcons fan, and you certainly those three, and some of us were also fans of the hockey team, okay? Or even the old soccer team. But we weren't just in one lane. And this whole one-lane sports fandom thing where I am a soccer fan, and I watch soccer, and that's what I watch, and all I watch, and I watch Euro League, Serie A, I watch indoor soccer, outdoor soccer, women's soccer, men's soccer, little soccer, that's all I watch is soccer. Well, okay, I'm not that way. I can't do that. I can watch a little bit, and then I got to go do something else. I'm a buffet guy, okay? I don't go to a steak. I'll have a steak, and I'll have a chop steak, and I'll have bacon, because that's all I eat is meat. And that's what I'll eat tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. And when I come in on the fourth day, make sure I get an extra piece of bacon. I mean, no. I can't eat Chinese every day, okay? I got to have a break. So it's just the way I kind of work. So you had to have a season. And back in those days, we would have like the month of June, okay? Once you got to the month of June, it'd be like you'd have the Braves and that would be it. And there'd be nothing else. And in the month of July, there would be the Braves. And that would be it. And there'd be nothing else. And August, there'd be the Braves. And there would be nothing else. And so there's no basketball. There's no women's team. There's no summer league. There's no nah. And it was just one thing. And it was like, okay, I can just settle in, watch, and then kind of wait for football season to come. No, no, they got to throw football at you every, because they figured it out. Especially the NFL is the worst. I mean, they're the best and the worst, but the NFL is the one that figured it out. Okay, the NFL figured out, look, if we put a major event in every single month, we'll put the draft in this month, we'll put the combine in this month, we'll put the schedule release in this month, we'll put training camp in this month and mini camp in this. They figured out how to make the NFL a 12-month-a-year, you know, in-your-face league, and you could never escape from it. And that's not, it's a great marketing tool. And then the NBA went, hey, what if we had a draft in this month? And what if we did a summer league? And then you can't escape the NBA. And it's like, ah, I don't know. I got to have a little bit of a break. Besides, how much do I really want to watch the Hawks? Because I'm going to bang my head on the table and go, oh my God, what have we done? Because, Oren, tell me what we've done, please. Help me out here.
We've constructed a team that is going to win games next year. Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess that's. I mean, I guess that's
their reasoning behind it. Is when there's a team that doesn't want to go into the luxury tax. And I'll say this. They did the thing that everybody thought and knew they should have done, but I don't know if that thing was the thing that people wanted to have happen. Like, I don't know if people wanted to accept the realization that they both weren't going to be back here next year. Trey and DeJounte, neither one of them was going to be back here next year. It wasn't going to happen. One of them was going to be gone. And whether you wanted that to actually be the reality or not, it was going to be that way. Like, it didn't work. I think I saw a stat that they are 55-62 is the record for Trey and DeJounte in games they played together. 55-62. Now, Abe had a good point. The day it happened, Abe was on. Abe had a good point about how two things can be true at the same time. One being that Trey and DeJounte did not work together as a duo, as a tandem, as an on-court pair. At the same time, the Hawks didn't do what they were supposed to do to build around one or both of those guys. Both of those things can be true. And I think that's the problem that people are kind of struggling with right now, is that you didn't get to see Trey and DeJounte, I guess, when this thing was built up in a different way. But at the same time, these two guys, it just didn't work.
I'm going to need your help tonight, okay? 404-726-0929. You have the opportunity. You have the floor. Oren's going to be here, too, to help me walk me through this, because I think I need an intervention. Because I am at my wit's end with trying to figure this out, why our teams, except for the Falcons, because they have to play in the league that they play in and the rules are, why we refuse to act like a major market city. It's like we're still in 1972 and Atlanta is a town that people go, oh, that's a nice little southern town, and they pat us on the heads and give us a lollipop. On Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Aim.
Actually, a lot going on here on July the 1st here, not the least of which is I'm prepping for the 4th of July. 4th of July show, where I'm going to be on 10 to 2, is a really important show for me. And not just because of 4th of July, but because it's my big football show. And so I, you know, spent the better part of the day, you know, checking out the football show. I knew the Braves weren't playing tonight, so I looked at the schedule and I go, oh, San Francisco, Philadelphia. Didn't notice. Oh, wait, those are at home. Okay, great. Yeah, okay, great. Hey, look, hey, this is how things are going, right? Going in Atlanta right now. Nothing going right in Atlanta right now. 404-726-0929. July 1st also, by the way, Oren, today is like the official day of all the college realignment. It just became official today.
The schools become part of their new conferences. Yes.
Yeah, today. So congratulations to Kennesaw State. They are now a proud member of Conference USA, and that's a big step up for the Owl program. So congrats to them. And then we've got, Texas and Oklahoma officially. I mean, we all knew this, obviously. The schedules are out. But it just became official today that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC. They are. It's July 1. And then you have U.S. Boy, it's so weird to think USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington are now in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten has 18 teams.
Or is it weirder, John, that the ACC is now bi-coastal?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, we spend so much time talking about how Texas and Oklahoma are going to impact the SEC, how USC and Oregon and those teams are going to impact the Big Ten, that you forget, that's right, Cal and Stanford and SMU are officially into the ACC. Can't wait for that big ACC showdown. SMU at Boston College. ACC game of the week.
ACC game of the week.
And then Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah are now in the Big 12, right? So you'll get a roster to be able to keep up with all this. Colorado was in the Big 12. Then they left and went to the Pac-12. And then now they're back in the Big 12. So Dion has been in three different leagues in 3 years with two teams, which is weird. Today was the official day of all of that. And, because, one of the questions I'm prepping for the 4th of July, matter of fact, I know we're not going to talk a lot of college football here tonight, but I'll just give it to you real quick, Oren, is I had Phil Steele on over the weekend, right? And Phil and I were chatting, and I asked him a question that I'd like to ask you. What's going to have the most impact? Actually, there's two questions. What's going to have the most impact on who wins the national title? Is it having a 12-team playoff? Is it having new expanded leagues in the Power 2, 4, whatever you want to say? Or is it that those leagues, like the SEC and the Big Ten, no longer have divisions? And so there's not going to be any, we could play that crappy team from the other side. It's you got to play the showdown game, especially now in the SEC. It's always been that way, right? I mean, it seems like there's never been – there may have been 1 year where Auburn kind of slid in there and everybody, okay. But for the most part, it's been – and I don't mean that derogatively to Auburn. It's just – it just happened to be, you know, maybe we could have been a better matchup somewhere. In the Big Ten, it's happened a lot, you know, where – and even in the ACC where – well, who are we playing? Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's not good, yeah. But no, they won their division. So the no division thing is going to be a big deal. So which of those three has the most impact on who's going to eventually win the title? The playoff, the expansion to include all these other extra teams in there, and you could just look at Georgia's schedule and see how much more difficult it is this year in the regular season. Or is it no divisions and you got to face off and square off against the second best team in your league regardless?
It's a 12-team playoff because you're going to have a team that essentially probably has two losses or maybe even three losses that gets into a playoff this year and could potentially win a title. So it gives the teams with chances – gives the teams that didn't have chances before to be in a playoff a chance, just like everybody else, to win a championship.
So yeah, no, so it's going to be
playoff, the expanded nature of the playoff. Yeah.
You know, and the people that don't like the 12-team playoff, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself here, it will be when we get there to that opening week of the 12-team playoff, you're going to go bananas because it's going to be so much fun. Other question that we're not going to ask, again, this is not tonight unless you want to jump in on it. You can certainly – look, I don't say you can't talk about something on my show, so if what I'm talking about with Oren here is something you want to talk about and discuss tonight, we can. It'll be part of the big football show on the 4th. But you can talk about it tonight, too, at 404-726-0929. The other question, which, again, I'm not really asking tonight is, and I ask Phil Steele, I look at Georgia's schedule, and the idea that – without divisions, you might have to, if you're Georgia, you might have to play Texas three times this year. You might have to play Alabama three times this year. One of the two, regular season, conference title game, playoff. I don't think 16-0 is ever going to happen. I don't see it happening, Oren.
I mean, it could. It just, things have to line up. I mean, but it's the new reality of it, too, is that the goal, while 16-0 is pretty cool, and the undefeated champions, they always stand out, I think, a little bit more than the champions who have one or any losses. The goal, I think, at that point just becomes surviving and getting to the end of the season and being the last team to win. So maybe the priority before was making sure you win all your ball games when it mattered more, I guess, too, when you had to. If you had a loss earlier in the season, you had to run the table the rest of the year. Or if you wanted to be one of those final teams in the CFP, you had to have the best resume possible. If you knew your schedule wasn't maybe the best, then being undefeated got you in. So being undefeated is not as much prioritized as it was before. That means the team that finishes 16-0, if that does happen again, it'll be that much better for them. But it's just about the championship, I think, at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's going to be and 17-0, which would be like a group of five team that gets in, an unbeaten 13-0 team that gets in and has to play, doesn't get a bye. Good luck. I mean, so I just think it'll be more rare. One of the things you're going to have to wrap your brain around here, and again, this is, I know I'm jumping the 4th of July show, is 9-3 is not a bad record, okay? 9-3 in the SEC, as long as those, you got quality wins, and those three losses are kind of quality losses, 9-3 might get you in the playoff, okay? 9-3 might get you in the playoff. So... and that's all you want to do. You just want to get in. It's like, once you get into the NFL playoffs, anybody walking around saying, what's your record? No, you're in the playoffs, right? Everybody's like 0-0, right? That's the 12-team playoff. All right. So what I really want to talk about tonight is, I sat here and Dukes and Bell were talking about it, and I know they were talking a lot about the trade, and, the Hawks have made two trades. And one minor trade with A.J. Griffin going off to get the second draft pick, Juricic. And then, of course, the DeJounte Murray trade where you got the three players and then you got the two draft picks. I could sit here and I could talk about how I'm befuddled a little bit by what the Hawks are doing because all the moves so far that they've made, and maybe they'll make another one. We can certainly have a discussion about it, and it's fine if you want to get in and have a discussion about this. But I'm not really sure I understand where they're going with it. They're pushing everything to the future right now. There's nothing they've done says, hey, we're winning next year. Nothing. Maybe they might be better because now Quinn Snyder doesn't have to worry about having two point guards. He could just focus on having Trey kind of be the superstar of the team and rework it around there with Jalen and, Zach Attack and all that kind of stuff. We could talk about that. But they didn't go out there while everybody else is making moves. Now, Philadelphia, as good as they were, Philadelphia was in a really good spot, right? Because they had Embiid and a couple of bench guys, and everybody else was on expiring, and they, let everybody else go. They just went, yeah, you're gone.
Caps, like 60 million in cap space.
Oh, I know. I think it was closer to 80. And so they was just, gone. And then they started signing players left and right, okay? And I thought, maybe that's what the Hawks ought to do, because Clint's on an expiring contract. Trey's got a couple more years left, but soon enough, Hunter will be gone. And then, you could clear this roster out pretty quick. So Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe it's maybe I'm just a year ahead of myself. Maybe the big get is coming next year. We know they're going to clear the contracts out next year. They're going to have trade, and then they're going to go like hog wild into free agency next year. And that's fine, except they've locked up most of the free agents, and nobody left. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do then? So I'm not really sure I understand the direction of the franchise. But what bothers me more, and I started expanding it out, is I look at where Atlanta United, and, you know, of course, they're going to lose Almada, and they lost Giakoumakis. And, you know, notwithstanding the incredible, and it was an incredible goal that TRAF King, if that had been for a title, it would have been the greatest play in Atlanta sports history, the TRA goal the other night. But I just don't, I'm befuddled by something that I continue to be befuddled by. This town, my town, our town acts like a major international sports mecca, okay? Super Bowls and Olympics and World Cups and Final Fours and Copas and All-Star Games, well, the ones they don't take away from us, and National Title Games, and they, I mean, all sorts of stuff. I mean, look at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for college football this year. SEC Title Game, check. Quarterfinal Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, check. National Title Game, check. I mean, we act as a massive sports hub in this city for events, and yet our professional teams act like we're Memphis. This is the number six market in America. Number six. New York 1, LA 2, Chicago 3, Dallas, Fort Worth 4, Houston 5, Atlanta 6. We are bigger than Philadelphia, bigger, much bigger than Boston, much bigger than San Francisco in the Bay Area. Heck, we're twice the size of Denver. We're twice the size of St. Louis. We're three times the size of Kansas City. We're three times the size of Cleveland. Three times as big. And yet we act like we're Cleveland. But we're three times that. We are the biggest city in the South by a mile. And we don't act like we are the big. Why do we not act? Why do we not want to swim in these waters? We let Orlando sign people. Yeah, we'll get this guy. Now, money isn't everything. I get it. You know, and you can waste a lot of money, and we don't want to do that. Look at the mess. M-E-S-S, mess. I get it. I mean, you can do that. I understand that. Look at the Angels. Oh, my God. Look at the Angels. And for that matter, the most recent one, of course, San Diego Padres, who spent a bazillion dollars and didn't get anything for it. So you got to spend wisely, but they don't want to even spend. It's like they don't want to spend at all. I mean, we are sitting around here talking about, well, should the Braves sign Max Fried? It's a no-brainer. If Max Fried was in, I don't know, the Texas Rangers, if Max Fried was in Boston, do you think Boston would say, yeah, I don't know, we'll see about Max Fried? What's wrong with us? What the hell is wrong with us? Why don't we act? You want to know why we have three titles in 20-some-odd years? Because we don't act like we belong in the same place. How does Boston has 2 million people less than us? And they... And the funny thing is, when it comes to college sports, especially when it comes to college football, we are not about to let anybody steal our lunch money. I'll be damned. You know? No, that's not going to happen. We are the king. Because we act like it. We walk like it. We talk like it. But when it comes to this, well, yeah, I know. But, you know, Boston, you know. To hell with Boston. To hell with Philadelphia. We're bigger than those cities. What? Somebody walk me through this, because I'm just a little bit, well, I'm generally and broadly in life confused, but this is something, watching the Hawks operate now was supremely disappointing to me, because I don't want to hear about first apron, second apron, I don't care. Act like you are at least interested. Everybody else, the New Orleans Saints, the New Orleans Saints are in camp. That's a puny little town down there, okay? The one that smells down 85. It's a puny little city, okay? I mean, it's like, you know, Macon and Chattanooga wrapped together. This is Atlanta, for crying out loud. And they're $180 billion over the cap. And they go, ah, we don't care. We'll spend big. And we go, I don't know if we got $6 million under the cap to go out and sign a free agent edge. Why? What is going on here? Help me out. I don't get it. 92.9 The Game tonight. 404-726-0929. All right. You figured this out for me because I quit trying to figure it out. Hell, I don't even know where the Braves are, home or road, anymore. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, maybe I needed a little Metallica in my life. Yeah, maybe that'll just get me going because I'm already pretty amped up anyway for a Monday night, for crying out loud. From the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you. I just don't know. I mean, we're going to take your calls here, 404-726-0929, because I'm taking these glasses are my glasses. My glasses, they're Kool-Aid colored glasses, right? Okay. Take those off. Turn in my bandwagon keys, driving keys, because I can't drive right now. Anyway, so Georgia would not accept. Georgia football fans would not accept. When was the last time, Orin? It'd been 30 years since Georgia might have had a losing season, right? Kind of like, I know, did Donnan have one? I know that Ray Goff, right? I mean, but that's why Ray Goff left. Ooh. I mean, he was.
Rick got close. Rick had to win a. I think maybe, did Rick have one?
Yeah, a losing season?
I think maybe they finished, one year they finished 6-7. Hold on, let me check that.
Okay, anyway, but point is that they don't really accept it, right?
No,
but for
it's
whatever
not,
reason.
Not accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not accepted.
Yeah, 2010. But for whatever reason, 6-7.
Okay, all right. So, well then, but prior to that, it had been what? It had been was it Donnan maybe or
maybe
was it
Donnan.
Was
that
it Ray
was the
Goff?
Year before they got the dream team that came into place with Isaiah Crowell
right.
and those guys.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, but the point is that it's if it's a one off or a two off or something like. But we seem to be now. The Braves have had tremendous success. Obviously, we're spoiled 30 years of success. Except for one kind of little hiccup there, toward the end of the Turner Field years when they were resetting the franchise, and you had first had Freddie and Dansby and whatnot, back when we had Upton in the outfield and another Upton. We had like Justin Upton, B.J. Upton, Melvin Upton, Kate Upton. I don't know, it was a whole bunch of Uptons. And we weren't very good, right? I mean, Braves weren't all that great. But they got really good really quick, went to Truist, and bam, from the jump, right? And they're still pretty good. Been a frustrating year, but, they're still pretty good. And we'll see what happens the rest of the year here. You know, maybe they are a shock the world team, because if they win the World Series this year, you know what everybody's going to say? We're all going to say, trade Ronald, because we win without him.
That's what they'll say.
I want to get to your answers here. I just don't understand why this incredible city. I've seen this city grow up from... You know the blue bubble on top of the Hyatt Hotel downtown? It was next to the Peachtree Plaza. It was the most noticeable thing in the skyline of downtown. And I remember the first time I saw it, and somebody said, you know that's a bathroom, right? And I went, what? They went, yeah, that blue bubble thing, it's a bathroom. I went, oh, okay. I actually never went up in it. I don't know what's up there. I have no idea. I didn't go check. I've never been in that Hyatt Hotel. Ever, so I don't know. Maybe it is. Beats the hell out of me. It could be a restaurant. I don't know what it is. But now you can't see that thing for nothing, for all the skyscrapers, right? This town has blown up into a major, and continues to blow up into a, and going forward 50 years from now, which I won't see, but maybe if you're young and you're in your 20s, you may, Atlanta might have, I don't know, it's got what, 6.5 million people now? It might have 12 million people. I mean, this is going to be, there's nothing to stop. See, the difference, all right, I have to stop for a second. Understanding growth of cities, okay? The difference between Dallas, Fort Worth, Atlanta, and every place else is there's no impediment. Dallas, Fort Worth, and Atlanta have no impediment to their growth. Chicago's on the water. New York's on the water. Boston's on the water. Philadelphia's on the water. LA's on the water, also up against the mountains. You may not know that. Denver's up against the mountains, right? Houston's on the water. There's nothing to stop. Atlanta can go. It could go from Greenville to Phoenix City. It can go from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, to Valdosta. It can go from Augusta to Tallapoosa. There's nothing to stop it. And so it can become this unbelievable megalopolis. And right now, as it stands, we're a pretty darn big city. We're the sixth largest city in the country. And we act like we're Memphis. I'm flummoxed. I don't understand why Boston does not accept mediocrity. Philadelphia does not accept mediocrity. New York doesn't either. Unfortunately for New York, they've been stuck in mediocrity because it's been so poorly run over the past couple of decades that they've been stuck in mediocrity there. I mean, the New York fans are fit to be tied with how bad their sports teams have been because they've just been poorly run. But they don't accept it, okay? If you go listen to New York Sports Talk Radio, it's entirely different than Atlanta Sports Talk. Entirely different than Atlanta Sports Talk Radio. And I don't want to mimic New York Sports. I don't want to be WFAN. I had no desire to do that. But even in Southern California, when I was out there, when I was in New York, I got a sense of that this is not acceptable. I got out in Los Angeles, I got a sense this is not acceptable. Here in Atlanta, we bitch and moan, and then we go, okay. And then we just accept it. And then we say stuff like, well, okay, maybe we can win 45 games of trade this year. Okay, all right. Moving on. That's what we say. That's like, okay. I mean, I know there's nothing we could do about it, but at some point, don't we say, wait, what the hell? You know, this can't be. Oren, you said you had a point about this that I might not like?
Yeah. I think you have to ask yourself, John, especially when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks, the small market thinking. Small market thinking, I think, comes into play sometimes when a team doesn't feel like they're championship ready or they're close to a championship. So I think you need to ask yourself the question is, like, why don't the Hawks feel like they're championship ready? And if that's the reason why, the small market mindset sort of exists where there is you have a superstar in Trae Young and people will spend money to come see Trae Young, but you don't invest anything else really past that because you know that this team isn't going to contend for championships and you hope that maybe, you know, after the 21 season, you hope you can luck up into a repeat performance like you did the year before. So you don't really change anything except getting rid of Kevin Huerter. So don't understand that one, but you don't change a whole lot, and you hope that that's going to be the case, and that wasn't the case. But that mindset comes about not being just not thinking that you're going to contend for championship. You're happy at this point
being a
middling, mediocre playoff or play-in team.
Steve Koonin was on with Carl and I don't know, 3 weeks ago, and he said, you know, the biggest mistake we made was right after the 21 season is standing pat. We stood pat. We thought we had a team, and we stood pat, and we didn't do anything. And we said, all right, well, we'll just roll it in. We'll play this back. We'll roll this back without realizing that this team wasn't way ahead of itself in what it had done in the postseason the previous year. Okay, you know, I accept that, and I accepted, you know, that those mistakes happen. I'm not really so much talking about that. I'm talking about from, like, our perspective, from your perspective, Oren. From a city perspective, is it because we're not unified as a city because it is the type of city that it is? Whereas everybody in Boston is from Boston, right? I mean, nobody actually moves to Boston.
You know what unifies
cities, nobody from
John?
Atlanta.
You know what unifies cities? Winning.
You mean championships?
Yeah. Winning. Doesn't matter. I mean, Atlanta United probably has, the most transient fan base? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just fans literally from all over, all walks of life, all cities, wherever, across the country, across the world. During their run of successful playoffs and championships, people came out to see them because they won. Braves, same thing, too. People came to see the Braves because they win. That's what gets people in is championships and winning, John. That's what unified cities is, championships. Winning.
Yeah, I don't know what United is doing. That flummoxes me because it's Arthur. I mean, Arthur wants to win titles. I mean, this franchise was... The reason they won a title in year two was because Arthur said, we're going to hit the ground running, and we're going to hire the right people, and Darren Eales and Tata, and we're going to go get the right players, and Joseph and Miggy, and we're going to win title after title after title. And that's the whole concept, is to become the dominant franchise from the moment they hit the field, which they pretty much did. And now they're just kind of going backwards, and we're seeing everybody else sign stars. We sign stars to sell them. That's what Atlanta United does. Yeah, we'll sign that young star we'll have him for a year. It's like Kentucky basketball. Yeah, it's one and done here. Come for one and done. I mean, why don't they go ahead and make a run? I'm not saying it, you know, that anybody in particular, but if Messi can go to Miami and Suarez can go to Miami, go get an Mbappe, Ronaldo, Harry Kane, or whatever. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Go get somebody who's not going to leave. You know, don't be one and done. You become a one and done. I'm not sure I understand that. That's not a philosophy for great success. KB wants to jump into the program here. Let's get KB on here, and then we'll get to the rest of you. I'm sorry I'm ranting tonight, KB. I apologize. I'm just – the Hawks thing really sent me off.
You good. You talking good tips. Honestly, I just feel like it's the culture in Atlanta. It don't take so much to feel successful. You don't have to win a championship. Cost of living is very low, so you can be on the practice squad and feel like a celebrity in Atlanta. Honestly, I just feel like, you know, they're not hungry like out of state, like other states, like Boston or Kansas City, when they put a lot into their sports. I think because there's so much going on in Atlanta and it don't take so much to be successful, it's so easy for people to accept mediocrity.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I like Kansas City a lot. It's a nice town. I spent quite a bit of time there. I'm a fan of the city, but it's a tiny town. I mean, it's the size of like Gwinnett County. I mean, what, you know, maybe Gwinnett and Cobb, but I mean, it's not Atlanta. It's not in the universe of Atlanta. So why don't we just say, well, it's nice. I'm glad. Congratulations to you, but we're Atlanta. We're the big dogs, and here's our foot, and we step on you. Did I lose KB? Oh, okay. I was just, I'm just trying to figure this out here. Let's go to John, because look, I've been doing this, John. This is my 50th season of watching these teams, okay? 50. And I've got to a point where I had three titles in 50 years of all these teams in town, and I'm just left kind of, what are the Hawks doing? Why are we not even trying, it seems?
John, we had this conversation about 2-3 weeks ago about who it was that we had here running these teams. And we ended the conversation by me saying, I want them gone. You said, well, that's not going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen.
If they're going to be gone, that Landry Fields, the Rustlers were going to be gone. As long as you have these people here, not knowing what they're doing, acting like they know what they're doing, this is what you're going to be cursed with. Because the New York markets, the Chicago markets, the Philadelphia markets, those people have an idea. They have a knowledge. They have an acumen for doing it right. The championships speak for themselves. Boston's championship speaks for themselves. And our ineptness speaks for itself. Shout louder than anybody else could shout. Thank goodness that Sports Talk Radio, followed by Facebook, followed by Twitter, followed by all of these other media outlets, are giving us, the fans, a chance to ventilate and cuss some people out. Because this, just like you say, John, just like you say, the city is top-notch. The market is top-notch. But the people running the sports organizations have not been so. And until that changes, until you get someone in here who has a vision, someone in here who has a plan that has done this before, instead of you around here interviewing all of these young folk that have no idea of what it takes to make moves, it's going to be just like this. It's going to be just like this. I'm sitting up here looking.
Thanks, John. I do appreciate it. I got to get to a break here, top of the hour here. So you feel me? And that's John's kind of version of things here. I take Tony Russo at his word. Man has done, around the Hawks, he's done everything else. He said, I'm going to do this, and all of it's been top-notch. Now we get to the roster, and I'm like, okay, here's the golden opportunity that nobody's ever had before to have a superstar you can move in a number one pick. Never before in history. All right, you got plenty of money. Go into the Abrams. Go spend whatever you go. And this is what we get. All right, I'm missing something here. Is it Atlanta? I don't know. Sports Radio 99, The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, maybe I needed a little Metallica in my life. Yeah, maybe that'll just get me going, because I'm already pretty amped up anyway for a Monday night, for crying out loud. From the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you. I just don't know. I mean, we're going to take your calls here, 404-726-0929, because I'm taking these glasses in my glasses. My glasses, they're Kool-Aid colored glasses, right? Okay. Take those off, turn in my bandwagon keys, driving keys, because I can't drive right now. Anyway, so Georgia would not accept. Georgia football fans would not accept. When was the last time, Oren? It'd been 30 years since Georgia might have had a losing season, right? Kind of like, I know, did Donnan have one? I know that Ray Goff, right? I mean, but that's why Ray Goff left. I mean, he was.
Rick got close. Rick had to win a. I think maybe, did Rick have one?
You have a losing season?
I think maybe they finished, one year they finished 6-7. Hold on, let me check that.
Okay, anyway, but the point is that they don't really accept it, right?
No, but for whatever reason, not accepted.
Yeah, it's not accepted.
Yeah, 2010, but for whatever reason, 6-7.
Okay, all right, so. Well, then, but prior to that, it had been what? It had been, was it Donnan, maybe? Or
maybe
was it Ray Goff?
That was the
Goff?
Year before they got the dream team that came into place with Isaiah Crowell,
right,
and those guys.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, but the point is that it's, if it's a one-off or a two-off or something like, but we seem to be now, the Braves have had tremendous success. Obviously, we're spoiled, 30 years of success, except for one kind of little hiccup there, toward the end of the Turner Field years when they were resetting the franchise. And you have first had Freddie and Dansby and whatnot, back when we had, Upton in the outfield and another Upton. We had like Justin Upton, BJ Upton, Melvin Upton, Kate Upton. I don't know. It was a whole bunch of Uptons. And we weren't very good, right? I mean, Braves weren't all that great. But they got really good really quick, went to Truist, and bam, from the jump, right? And they're still pretty good. Been a frustrating year, but, they're still pretty good. And we'll see what happens the rest of the year here. You know, maybe they are a shock the world team, because if they win the World Series this year, you know what everybody's going to say? We're all going to say, trade Ronald, because we win without him.
That's what they'll say.
I want to get to your answers here. I just don't understand why this great, this incredible city. I've seen this city grow up from, the blue bubble on top of the Hyatt Hotel downtown? It was next to the Peachtree Plaza. It was the most noticeable thing in the skyline of downtown. And I remember the first time I saw it, and somebody said, that's a bathroom, right? And I went, what? They went, yeah, that blue bubble thing, it's a bathroom. I went, oh, okay. I actually never went up in it. I don't know what's up there. I have no idea. I didn't go check. I've never been in that Hyatt Hotel. Ever, so I don't know. Maybe it is. Beats the hell out of me. Could be a restaurant. I don't know what it is. But now you can't see that thing for nothing, for all the skyscrapers, right? This town has blown up into a major and continues to blow up into a, and going forward 50 years from now, which I won't see, but maybe if you're young and you're in your 20s, you may, Atlanta might have, I don't know, it's got what, 6.5 million people now? It might have 12 million people. I mean, this is going to be, there's nothing to stop. See, the difference, all right, I have to stop for a second. Understanding growth of cities, okay? The difference between Dallas-Fort Worth, Atlanta, and every place else is there's no impediment. Dallas-Fort Worth and Atlanta have no impediment to their growth. Chicago's on the water, New York's on the water, Boston's on the water, Philadelphia's on the water, LA's on the water, also up against the mountains. You may not know that. Denver's up against the mountains, right? Houston's on the water. There's nothing to stop. Atlanta can go, it could go from Greenville to, you know, Phoenix City. It can go from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee to Valdosta. It can go from Augusta to Tallapoosa. There's nothing to stop it. And so it can become this unbelievable megalopolis. And right now, as it stands, we're a pretty darn big city. We're the sixth largest city in the country. And we act like we're Memphis. I'm flummoxed. I don't understand why Boston does not accept mediocrity. Philadelphia does not accept mediocrity. New York doesn't either. Unfortunately for New York, they've been stuck in mediocrity because it's been so poorly run over the past couple of decades that they've been stuck in mediocrity there. I mean, the New York fans are fit to be tied with how bad their sports teams have been because they've just been poorly run. But they don't accept it, okay? If you go listen to New York sports talk radio, it's entirely different than Atlanta sports talk. Entirely different than Atlanta sports talk radio. And I don't want to mimic New York sports. I don't want to be WFAN. I had no desire to do that. But even in Southern California, when I was out there, when I was in New York, I got a sense of that this is not acceptable. I got out in Los Angeles, I got a sense this is not acceptable. Here in Atlanta, we bitch and moan, and then we go, okay. And then we just accept it. And then we say stuff like, well, okay, maybe we can win 45 games of trade this year. Okay, all right. Moving on. That's what we say. It's like, okay. I mean, I know there's nothing we could do about it, but at some point, don't we say, wait, what the hell? You know, this can't be. Oren, you said you had a point about this that I might not like?
Yeah. I think you have to ask yourself, John, especially when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks, the small market thinking. Small market thinking, I think, comes into play sometimes when a team doesn't feel like they're championship ready or they're close to a championship. So I think you need to ask yourself the question is, like, why don't the Hawks feel like they're championship ready? And if that's the reason why, the small market mindset sort of exists where there is you have a superstar in Trae Young and people will spend money to come see Trae Young, but you don't invest anything else really past that because you know that this team isn't going to contend for championships and you hope that maybe, you know, after the 21 season, you hope that you can luck up into a repeat performance like you did the year before so you don't really change anything except getting rid of Kevin Huerter. So don't understand that one, but you don't change a whole lot, and you hope that that's going to be the case, and that wasn't the case. But that mindset comes about not being just not thinking that you're going to contend for championship. You're happy at this point
being a
middling, mediocre playoff or play-in team.
Steve Koonin was on with Carl and I don't know, 3 weeks ago, and he said, you know, the biggest mistake we made was right after the 21 season is standing pat. We stood pat. We thought we had a team, and we stood pat, and we didn't do anything. And we said, all right, well, we'll just roll it in. We'll play this back. We'll roll this back without realizing that this team wasn't way ahead of itself in what it had done in the postseason the previous year. Okay, you know, I accept that, and I accept it, you know, that those mistakes happen. I'm not really so much talking about that. I'm talking about from, like, our perspective, from your perspective, Oren. From a city, is it because we're not unified as a city because it is the type of city that it is? Whereas everybody in Boston is from Boston, right? I mean, nobody actually moves to Boston.
You know what unifies
cities, nobody
from
Atlanta.
John? You know what unifies cities? Winning.
You mean championships?
Yeah. Winning. Doesn't matter. I mean, Atlanta United probably has, what, the most transient fan base? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just fans literally from all over, all walks of life, all cities, wherever, across the country, across the world. during their run of successful playoffs and championships, people came out to see them because they won. Braves, same thing, too. People came to see the Braves because they win. That's what gets people in as championships and winning, John. That's what unified cities is championships. Winning.
Yeah, I don't know what United is doing. That flummoxes me because it's Arthur. I mean, Arthur wants to win titles. I mean, this franchise was the reason they won a title in year two was because Arthur said, we're going to hit the ground running and we're going to hire the right people and Darren Eales and Tata, and we're going to go get the right players and Joseph and Miggy, and we're going to win title after title after title. And that's the whole concept, is to become the dominant franchise from the moment they hit the field, which they pretty much did. And now they're just kind of going backwards, and we're seeing everybody else sign stars. We sign stars to sell them. That's what Atlanta United does. Yeah, we'll sign that young star we'll have him for a year. It's like Kentucky basketball. Yeah, it's one and done here. Come for one and done. I mean, why don't they go ahead and make a run? I'm not saying it, you know, that anybody in particular, but if Messi can go to Miami and Suarez can go to Miami, go get an Mbappe, Ronaldo, Harry Kane, or whatever. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Go get somebody who's not going to leave. You know, don't be one and done. You become a one and done. I'm not sure I understand that. That's not a philosophy for great success. KB wants to jump into the program here. Let's get KB on here, and then we'll get to the rest of you. I'm sorry I'm ranting tonight, KB. I apologize. I'm just – the Hawks thing really set me off.
You good. You talking good tips. Honestly, I just feel like it's the culture in Atlanta. It don't take so much to feel successful. You don't have to win a championship. Cost of living is very low, so you can be on the practice squad and feel like a celebrity in Atlanta. Honestly, I just feel like, you know, they're not hungry like out of state, like other states, like Boston or Kansas City, when they put a lot into their sports. I think because there's so much going on in Atlanta and it don't take so much to be successful, it's so easy for people to accept mediocrity.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I like Kansas City a lot. It's a nice town. I spent quite a bit of time there. I'm a fan of the city, but it's a tiny town. I mean, it's the size of like Gwinnett County. I mean, what, you know, maybe Gwinnett and Cobb, but I mean, it's not Atlanta. It's not in the universe of Atlanta. So why don't we just say, well, it's nice. I'm glad. Congratulations to you, but we're Atlanta. We're the big dogs, and here's our foot, and we step on you. Did I lose KB? Oh, okay. I'm just trying to figure this out here. Let's go to John, because I've been doing this, John. This is my 50th season of watching these teams. Okay, 50, and I've got to a point where I had three titles in 50 years of all these teams in town, and I'm just left kind of. What are the Hawks doing? Why are we not even trying? It seems.
John, we had this conversation about 2-3 weeks ago about who it was that we had here running these teams. And we ended the conversation by me saying, I want them gone. You said, well, that's not going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen.
If they're going to be gone, that Landry Fields, the Rustlers were going to be gone. As long as you have these people here, not knowing what they're doing, acting like they know what they're doing, this is what you're going to be cursed with. Because the New York markets, the Chicago markets, the Philadelphia markets, those people have an idea. They have a knowledge. They have an acumen for doing it right. The championships speak for themselves. Boston's championship speaks for themselves. And our ineptness speaks for itself. Shout louder than anybody else could shout. Thank goodness that Sports Talk Radio, followed by Facebook, followed by Twitter, followed by all of these other media outlets, are giving us, the fans, a chance to ventilate and cuss some people out. Because this, just like you say, John, just like you say, the city is top-notch. The market is top-notch. But the people running the sports organizations have not been so. And until that changes, until you get someone in here who has a vision, someone in here who has a plan that has done this before, instead of you around here interviewing all of these young folk that have no idea of what it takes to make moves, it's going to be just like this. It's going to be just like this. I'm sitting up here looking.
Thanks, John. I do appreciate it. I got to get to a break here, top of the hour here. So you feel me? And that's John's kind of version of things here. I take Tony Russell at his word. Man has done, around the Hawks, he's done everything else. He said, I'm going to do this. And all of it's been top notch. Now we get to the roster, and I'm like, okay, here's the golden opportunity that nobody's ever had before to have a superstar you can move in a number one pick. Never before. In history. All right, you got plenty of money. Go into the Abrams. Go spend whatever you go. And this is what we get. All right, I'm missing something here. Is it Atlanta? I don't know. On Sports Radio 99, The Game.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.